Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Happy Friday to all you folks out there.
Mm-hmm.
Hope you're having a swell day, whatever you're doing. You're probably just waking up. Tweet, 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 tweet.
What's that?
The birds in the morning.
Beautiful. That's the drilling outside your house.
It's the pigeon.
Is that what you do in Sophie's ear in the morning to wake her up naturally? I wake up with natural light now.
All right, hero.
Thank you.
What, you just keep the curtains open?
Don't have curtains. What's up? Natural living, baby. What? I've also, mate, my
that's because you haven't been bothered to put them
Jay, on. Look, I am an environmentalist. I don't have, not many of the lights work in my apartment.
Sorry,
saving energy.
So it's your leaves from the...
My flat has actually become a jungle. I've also now got an air filter in there. So
oh, yeah,
I've got
you told me about
clean air. Mm. I've got the biggest houseplant you've ever seen. It's fucking massive.
How big are we talking?
Like the height of the studio almost.
Can you take a photo of it and put it on your social media?
No, she... Her name's Susan. She doesn't like to be photographed.
Doesn't wear any clothes. She's naked.
She is naked, essentially.
No, go on to Alex's Instagram. He's going to put it on his story. Come on.
I'll put it up, yeah. I've just repotted her this morning, actually.
What? That sounds so sexy.
Yeah, it was.
How was repotting? Was she nervous?
I did it in my pants.
Did you?
There was mud going everywhere.
What did she say to you?
She said, oh, yeah. That's what she said.
She said, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know there's this thing which is called, it is called, I'm going to read it to you right now. It is called, I can't find out what it's called. Oh, biophilia. Biophilia, when in hospital, when you are looking out of a window next to nature, you typically heal faster.
Nature is...
How amazing is that?
Nature is a great
healer. That's an incredible thing.
We need to embrace it. And that's why...
You keep saying... we all embrace it.
I went to a cabin in the woods and you thought it was some sort of seedy... Like I was murdering people.
What did you do in the cabin?
Well, I murdered a few people.
There you go, exactly. You went to a cabin in the woods.
Yes, it was fantastic.
Did you invite me? No.
Jay, bringing you to something like that...
What's
just,
wrong with it?
You'd ruin it.
Why would I ruin it?
You'd talk about money... You'd look at the woods and you go, oh, nice sky rise would go there, like nice, like big.
I'm not even in property.
Well, no, this is the problem with you. You've got ideas of grand. What's it? Grandeur, delusions of grandeur. Is that what it is? Yeah, something like that.
To the woods and I think, oh, a lovely sky rise would go here.
Yeah, knock them down, cut those trees down.
I would not. Think
you're like
that.
Lord Saruman.
Lord, I would not.
In Lord of the Rings.
I would not do that ever. I would never do that.
You hate nature.
Okay,
you
well...
You and Bretta.
No, I love nature. I have plants all over my house.
You love nature as like a chat-up line for women, that's about
I'm
it.
Married. Getting
Yeah, I know. That's why it's even worse.
Do you know what? You started this podcast off negatively.
No.
There you have it. Just attack. So the listener's going to go, cool, he's a bit attacky today.
Well, someone needs to do it.
A bit attacky.
Knock you down a peg.
Why? Because I don't want to build it. Because I want to build a sky rise.
Yes. We've got enough. You're like, oh, I'll tell you what. Airport. Terminal 6. Chuck it in.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. Hope you're having a lovely Friday. We have the glorious Roman Kemp on
we
the
do.
Podcast. A friend of ours. Roman is Capital Radio's breakfast presenter. He's done it for the past few years. He is son of Martin Kemp, Spandau Ballet.
Spandau? The Spandau Ballet.
Spandau. Spandau Ballet, that's what I said. Son of ballet. Spandau. Gold! Always believe in you. His godfather is and was George Michael. He's an incredible guy, a huge promoter and activist towards talking about your mental health. He had an incredible documentary on BBC, which is called The Silent Emergency, which is all about his best friend who sadly took his own life. Roman speaks openly about his own struggles. We have a big chat about it. I think you're really going to enjoy this episode. It's really incredible. Roman, thank you so much for coming on. Of course, go and check out our Patreon page. It's in the link tree in our bio. It's ad-free and loads of content. Hopefully you enjoy that. And hopefully you enjoy today's episode. Alex, you ready for it?
Yeah. He taught us how to make people cry, which I have been using.
That's exactly it. All right, everybody, enjoy the episode with Roman Kemp. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Private Parts, where nothing is off limits. Nothing, Roman.
Nothing.
Holy shit, nothing, man.
I like that. No, but I like it, though, because I think I am in a job where I am very much limited as to what I can and can't say at that certain time in the morning. So therefore, it's quite nice to just relax a little bit.
Have you ever slipped up?
All the time. All the time. I think the best part about doing radio is that it's live. I think that's why I love what I do. Because once I've done it, I've done it.
Yeah.
Then you can't then change anything. Start swearing as soon as you've done it.
No. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. But that's why, like, we have a system. So, like, basically what happens is when you listen to the radio, like, I'll specifically set for our show, you put it in a 10-second delay. So what happens is that at the beginning of the show, it slows down.
So you can
bit.
Change it quickly if something...
So, yeah. So if I've said something, you press one button, it, like, dumps the show and, like, just skips it forward 10 seconds. So basically,
sorry.
If you're...
Sorry, wait. It's like an emergency button. That you... No yeah. way.
It's an emergency
it goes
button.
To, like, elevator music.
Well, what it does is it... So at the beginning of the show, you'll hear, like... So if you ever tune into the show, the first song you'll hear, you'll kind of hear it and you'll go... Oh, this song feels a little bit slower than what I normally hear it at.
Oh, right.
Like a little bit. What it's doing is it's putting it back 10 seconds. So it's putting the show back 10 seconds.
That is mad.
Yeah, and then, like, throughout the show, if someone comes on, like, if you get a call, sometimes, you know, you get callers live in the morning, all that sort of stuff. Like, you know, some radio DJs, they like to record stuff, and I like doing it live. So you have a caller on, and if they go rogue and just swear, like, we've had it loads of times, you know, like, we've got someone in an argument about taking stuff out of other people's fridge, and this guy got really heated on the
Fair
phone
enough.
He's like, my fucking fridge, like, screaming it, right?
So
screaming
good.
It on the radio. So all of a sudden I'm just like, oh shit. So then I press this button.
Press the panic button.
Yeah, I press the button, and what the button does is it kills that delay and just brings it to where I am right now. So everyone else will never hear that bit. They'll hear 10 seconds in the future. Of course, if he kept swearing for 10 seconds...
That fucking bridge!
Yeah, if he kept doing it for 10 seconds, it would catch up. Yeah, but yeah, so it's...
Do you have that 10-second break where you go, buddy, listen, you can't swear. Because it's like, so I'm pressing this button right now, and it's going to come straight to me. So 3, 2, 1, boom.
Okay. Yeah, that's
hey, everyone.
It.
I'm going to call in now knowing that if I keep swearing, you're going to run out of time. Yeah, that's got it.
Yeah, that is swear it. For like 9 seconds until you can quit. Like, who could do it? We did, you may not remember this. You did something with me maybe years ago. And it's the first time that we met. And you had just been offered the Capital Breakfast Show. And I was with her and I was like this... reality guy and doing the things, and I was like, so what are you up to? And he was like, oh, I just got kind of a big gig coming up. And I was like, what is it? And you were like, just been given the breakfast show on Capital. And in my body I was like,
was this when you were trying to break
pretty sick.
Do you remember?
No,
you had your
I was
show.
Trying to break radio. I had Heat Radio. Yeah. And then I got fired from it.
Why did you get fired?
I don't know.
What, because of this or because of what you said?
I think both.
He's not very relatable. That's
I got it. Paid something like 200 quid a go, which I think is quite a lot in like sort of small, I think it was quite a lot. So every, I do it once a week, it's 200 quid. So it was quite, you know, it was pretty nice. And what happened was, is that I don't think I pulled in listeners. I don't think I was very good because it wasn't live.
Yeah.
And I didn't command the destiny. So they were just basically paying me. I don't know how many listeners got, but radio coaches you on. So you can now go for any dinner party, and I reckon if you're up for it, you can sit next to anyone and they go, shit, thank God I got Roman, because I know you're going to talk.
Do you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Yeah, I know.
So it's like a middle. I can middle a dinner table. Like whoever sits in the middle,
explain
you have
that,
to
explain that for the listeners.
Like if you sit in the middle of a dinner table, you're kind of expected to be able to direct the conversation left and right, and not just shut it off on one side. So a lot of people do put me in that middle because I'll do that. But
do you feel a pressure to do it as well? Do you feel
no? Because I talk shit for a living.
You know, a lot of the time it's, you know, you got to think like as a presenter, you know, you guys are doing it now, like as a presenter, it's your job to kind of make the other person look good or like kind of put them up on a pedestal. That's kind of what you have to do. It's a great thing because one, it kind of brings you down a peg constantly because the guest is always bigger than you.
Yes.
And two, it teaches you how to allow people how to speak.
Yeah, but the problem is I get it where I'm so used to talking that I then start talking over people. So like, someone say something, like, I'm like, ha, 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 and I start just like talking over everyone the whole time. And I imagine for you, do you find it hard to be interviewed because you're interviewing people all the time?
Yeah, yes and no. I see a lot of, like what I really like is a lot of people sometimes use the same techniques. And
what are the techniques?
Like I did a podcast recently. You know, he was a lovely guy. I'm sure he was using
he'd be
technique.
Like watching your stuff before you're like hang on
no right. No, I'm just sure it was a technique because I use it and I know it, right? And he's a really nice guy. I did Stephen Bartlett, the Diary of CEO.
Yeah, right.
So that one, and I had a lovely chat with him. As I say, he's a good guy. And as I'm chatting to him, like he was asking me some, you know, pretty hard hitting questions, you know, about quite deep subjects. Yeah. And he was doing the thing that I do, which is just look and don't reply. And what it does is it forces the person
to keep talking.
And then it gets into quite a tense state. Your adrenaline starts going a little bit higher. You start becoming a little bit more nervous, and that's when tears come. Right?
Oh no, did you get emotional?
No, I didn't, because I was like, you prick. You're doing the crying.
He was in his head, he was going, you better fucking cry. Yeah. You better fucking cry.
But like, but fair play. Like, you know, I do that sometimes and
so what, right? So let's practice and say you're saying, so you ask me a question, you just sit there.
Yeah. So you feel like you've finished your answer.
Yeah.
It's when you feel like, so it's like, yeah, and then, you know, and then like
what's your relationship like with your mother?
Yeah, what's your relationship like with your mother? Yeah, no, I think it's really good. And I go,
I can already see.
I would say to you, I go, well, that's it.
Yeah. and then you all go, and it's really awkward. It's really awkward. But you literally like, it's awkward, but it makes you kind of go hot and bothered and like.
You have there's so much confidence to do that.
A lot of people do it.
As a true pro, you're just giving it back to him. You're like, okay, let's see if I can break him.
Man. No, but the thing
he starts crying.
you get it so many times. I get so many times where, you know, especially with actors. Actors are so difficult. And like,
yeah, they are hard. They are
and
hard.
Man, like one, because they don't like speaking about themselves. Mm. Like that's the whole, they spend their lives pretending to be other people. They don't know who they are. Like, so when you ask them a question about themselves, I don't fucking know who that guy is. You know, but
psychologically, Robert De Niro said this, psychologically, he has real big issues because he's played so many characters.
Yeah.
He almost forgets who he is. So that's why he's very closed.
Mate, it's all of them have techniques. And it's like, and all of a sudden it becomes a game of chess. Where you're like,
sounds fucking stressful.
Where it's like, you prick. I know what you're trying to do.
Yeah, checkmate.
Like, I know what you're trying to do. No, I swear to you. Like, Robert Downey Jr., very like lovely guy. Imagine. Like all this type of thing. Every time I've interviewed him, I know exactly what he's doing. He is literally picking up on one tiny, tiny question, like a really rubbish question, will trail off as much as he can, just trying to compliment me as much as possible throughout that trail. And then, oh, time's up. Okay, bye. Just to waste your time.
And you're
sure this isn't just you? Because it sounds like he's being very complimentary.
No, I swear to God. Yeah. Your show. You asshole.
Yeah. Robert Downey Jr. came and he said how great I was. Nah. And such
a I tell you a funny one though.
So good.
Robert Downey Jr. actually like
he's sent, one of my favorite man.
He sent their team. I'll call them out on this because I think it's I think this is fucking stupid, right? Like I do, and I'm sorry. I respect him as an actor. I think he's fantastic. I mean, he's wicked, right? But I've never in my life had someone send over a specific temperature that the room has to be at when he walks in.
You're lying.
On my life.
We'd be fucked in here.
He was like, who's interviewed today? Like, Roman Kelly was like, tell him that I want.
That's what I was like, is he fucking with me?
You almost become a master at people's psyches, right? You can straight away, you're probably the same. You can probably notice now when people walk into a room, how they hold themselves, what their first words are, what they're saying, what they're going to be like. Because you...
I mean, I'm not Dr.
Yeah,
Xavier,
yeah. But I feel like you would, though. You would understand people so well, which is almost like a dangerous thing, because I think then actually our own insecurities come to the surface, right? Because you then start thinking about, okay, you're almost, your head is so loud that you're thinking about what they're thinking about all the time, because you're so conscious about making them feel comfortable.
I think that's only come about through insecurities of my own. I think that only being able to do that and trying to read someone as quickly as possible. The only reason I've done that is because from when I went to school as a kid, I had to work out, does this kid really like me? Or does he just want, is his parents told him, you've got to make friends with me to go and meet my dad?
Oh, God.
Has that happened?
It's been instilled from like an early age.
You had that from that early age?
Yeah, for sure, man.
What?
Like there were so many parents being like, oh, go make friends with the Kemps.
Wait, who's your dad?
Yeah, that's what, sometimes I don't know. Sometimes I don't know. But like, do you know what I mean?
We just give a quick shout out to your dad? He's one of the funniest things. So he did Murder Successful. I did it.
Yeah.
He did an episode of Murder Successful, which is, to anyone who doesn't know, it's basically where a celebrity comes in and they have to become a police officer of the day and solve a crime.
Tom Davis, yeah.
Oh, my Tom Davis, exactly. Genius. He plays
the
DIC.
Super tool?
Yeah.
Funny.
Your dad's one, like, I did it as well, but your dad's one was the most genius thing in the world. Halfway through, because you have to play an alias, right? And I can't remember what his was, but he kept forgetting his name. Yeah. And Tom Davis turned and went, who are you? And he went, I don't know.
He was like, you're Martin Kemp. He's like, oh yeah.
I don't know who I am. So good. But I think that, listen, I also, you had that from an early age where you thought that people were trying to be mates with you because of who your parents were. That's wild. It's mad, dude.
But that's just facts. Like you know, that's normal.
Yeah, but that's a conscious thing from such an early age to deal with.
It's a conscious thing for sure. But like at the same time, it's like, I'm not stupid. Like, do you know, I'm not stupid in thinking. And I always say this, like when people say to me like, oh, do you never worry that people like look at what you do now and they're like, oh, well, it's just because of his dad. It's like, no, not at all. Because I look at stuff sometimes and I think that, you know, and I've used this example before. Like if I see, for instance, if I saw one of the Ramsey kids all of a sudden doing a cooking thing, I'd go, oh, it's because of their dad. My brain naturally will say that. If I see Brooklyn Beckham doing a photography course, I don't think, oh, he might be amazing.
He's now
at photography.
A cook. He's now a cook.
But like I say, I don't say, oh, he's probably a really good cook. I say, well, his dad's probably helped him out. Because that's just how society has made us think.
Yeah, you know, Brooklyn Beckham.
Mitt was DJing in like some club, and Brooklyn Beckham comes up and goes, play some good music, mate.
And then just walked off. I was like, sick.
No!
I think he was trying to.
What were you playing?
He was trying to shag Lottie. At the time.
He really?
Yeah. What were you playing?
Fuck knows. Can't remember.
Oh,
he wasn't into it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Well, he's going to become a DJ next.
Oh yeah.
As soon as cooking works out.
Yeah.
But I think it's also an unfair assumption on you, Remy, because I feel I get it all the time. So you know, because I did Made in Chelsea, people assume that I'm this rich kid, right? That's living all these billions. And so when I started my sweet company, people just go, "Well, he's just done that because he's got the money to do it." Yeah. We started running. Same with you for your job. You know that you've grafted to get there.
Yeah.
And it took me a while. It didn't really, but it took me a little bit of while to kind of stop caring to say to people, no, I started this. And sometimes I still do defend myself. Do you still feel like you have?
No.
You don't. You're way better than me then. All right.
No, I like, what's the point? It's having that understanding and of what's worth it, what's not worth it. And that's why I only have such a small friend group as well, and the friends that I do have, I've had since I was six.
So I have I basically went to a few, like primary school, then a prep school, then I went to another school, right? And my second school, which was a school called Radley, and I made some really great friends there, but I didn't connect with them. I went to university, then started Main Chelsea and stuff like that, and still to this day I like have dreams about having not like seen them, and I'm like, oh god, because I actually like miss them, right? Like, because they're still friends and stuff like that. And I saw on, weirdly, Hailey Bieber's Instagram today, which she said the top five regrets of dying. When people die, what do they regret? One is, I wish I had the courage to live a true life to myself, not the life others expected of me. That's one thing. I wish I hadn't worked so hard. That's another one. I wish I had the courage to express my feelings. I wish that I had let myself be happier.
And the last one is the most important one. I wish I had stayed in touch with my friends.
Question, how did they verify this?
I did.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I've said this before, the Daily Show, they did a happiness test, right, for over, it was like 100 years, and what they realized at the end of the test is it wasn't fame, success, things like that. It was people who had the most meaningful connections with friends and family. Yeah. And I swear to God, having friendships since you were that early age is such a key thing to
have.
Oh my
God, it's amazing. Like I don't have a brother, like I have an older sister, but I genuinely feel like I do have brothers because it's that level of friendship where it's very like, you know, and it's rare, like,
to, it's really rare. That. Yeah, because normally you splinter off, right?
Yeah, and it's hard. The guys that I know that are doing all right in our industry are the ones that have those mates from back then, the you know, before all of that, you know, like you know, hanging out with, like, you know, your Niall Horans or stuff like that. Those, the guys that are hanging out with him are all his cousins, they're his, you know, his mates from like school, and that they keep that those people grounded, and that's what you can see. You know, it's when you start to worry when you see people who are, like, you know, moving to LA and like trying to find these new friends and all those types of things. They're the ones that you're like, oh, shit, you need, it's not who's there to bring you down and remind you where you came from.
But know? Then how did you guys keep grounded in a sense, because you have your dad is super famous, you're a young kid, you know, all this kind of stuff, then how do you stay grounded at that point?
Well, I think so, my dad obviously in the 80s was obviously doing Spandau Ballet and all those types of things, and you know, my mom was doing Wham and Pepsi and Shirley, and
isn't that mad, dude? Yeah. They're like, isn't it, dude, if you look back
at it. I think I'm the only kid whose both parents performed at Live Aid.
Fucking hell, yeah. That's so nuts.
She's mad, like thinking about nuts. It Matt is mad, like, you know, it's mad,
it's crazy.
And then I think, but they you know, they were height of stardom, you know, my dad's moved to LA and all this type of stuff, they've had me, you know, and then I got to about 4, and then my dad had 2 brain tumors, like massive brain tumors. He had the first one, and it was on the outside of his brain, and that took about 2 to 3 years to get rid of. And then when they were about to give him the all clear, they realized, oh fuck, there's a huge one growing from the inside of your brain. And at the time they didn't have any surgery for it, all this type of stuff. So he spent basically a year thinking, okay, that's it, he's gonna die.
Oh my God.
So he wrote a book for me and my sister about his life and all this type of stuff. And through all of that, obviously being out in America and et cetera, you have to pay for your healthcare. My mum and dad lost all their money, like all of it. And I think from that, it gave them this new perspective of life, which is really odd. Like, you know, my dad refused ever since then to become a victim of the world. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, one of those people that looks back and like, I've been hard done by because of this, you know, and really look at what is the most meaningful thing, because within a second it can constantly be taken away from you. And that is the thing that my parents constantly said to me, was that, like, honestly, it can go tomorrow.
Did he lose any motor skills or anything like that?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know,
You should get him on here. He'll tell you about it.
No, for
but,
sure.
But he. I know that when he first, when he first was like in recovery, and definitely as a kid, like I remember like growing up in our house and he didn't have any hair and those types of things, right? But he had to teach himself how to talk again, how to walk again, all these types of things. Like, and you imagine like at the time he's just done the craze. Like he's like this like good looking dude, like big actor, like, you know, musician, gonna get all these things, and then bam, like everything's gone.
But like, I'm all thinking about how old are you at the time?
So it probably started when I was like 2 and then ran till I was like 6.
Cause
six.
You,
and then my sister is like 8.
Yeah, conscious time, right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah, yeah.
You and that
But my mum did so well, because to be fair, like I knew he was sick sometimes. Like I knew like he would go to hospital, and like, as I say, his shaved head and all this type of stuff. I remember him writing his book, but never did. My mum did a good job of being able to keep that away from us. My mum always describes it really well, because it's one of those things that I look back and I go, you know, I read about stories or I hear about my mates' families like going through similar types of situations. And I'm like, fuck, like I can't even imagine like what that must be like, you know, going through something like that. Or like if someone has cancer or anything. Mm. And then I'm like, shit, my parents went through that.
Yeah.
You know, like whilst I was alive. And then I say to my mum, like, what was that like? And she was like, to be honest, I said to her, I was like, did you like prepare for like, if he died or anything like that? And she was like, no. She was like, the only way I can describe it is that when you're drowning, you're not thinking about being dead, you're just constantly treading water and you're just constantly trying to push to the top.
Because I mean, we said this before, but Mitt's mum passed away from
she had a brain tumor. That's why I asked about because unfortunately where hers was, they just couldn't do anything.
And Mitt said the same thing, which you're saying, which is so interesting. Like I haven't experienced that, right? I've only experienced one like health scare with my family, and it was terrifying. Mm. But so I can't imagine. And you suddenly realize that you guys have is you realize what is meaningful in life.
It's the ultimate life check. Yeah. It like stripped away so much bullshit in my life. And
yeah.
I was just like, oh my God, I actually saw like proper clarity again.
I'm so sorry. Like, you know, and it is that thing of like, you know, you realize... I know how lucky I am. You know, I meet a lot of, you know, young guys and girls who lost their parents or parents that have lost kids to it.
But I think, right, that's probably why you realize why friendship was so important from an early age, and like keeping hold of those different things and having that great kind of sort of like mental sort of structure, right? That you just knew what is important. And kids don't really know what's important, right? You kind of go, okay, a truck is, and then you go, okay, girls, this and that, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But you were just like, no, this is what's important, family, friends, things like that. And everything else kind of fits in.
100%. And again, people ask me about it, and I know for sure, like, my family, we view the fame thing as a negative, which is odd thing to say, because it leads to so many amazing opportunities, and that is incredible, and I love that. But there are pros and cons to what we do, and a con is that someone will come up to you and recognize you, and you know, maybe say something bad to you or whatever.
Mm.
But that's only because I think I was lucky enough to grow up with, you know, a figure in my life specifically, like of someone like George Michael, who was my godfather growing up, right? And so it's like an uncle, right? He's running over the house all the time, like that, stuff like that.
Can we just say that's just
it's nuts.
I love George Michael.
Just quickly, can we just quickly? We're all sitting here and just going, yeah.
No, but it's nuts. I know.
It's mental.
I know.
Dude, your godfather was George Michael. That's so sick.
But that's what I'm saying. It's crazy. But what
did
what,
you see the whole like? You must have seen everything, right?
But that's what I'm saying. But what you realize is that fuck, when you get that big, it's really lonely. Like, and it's really like. You know, you have a lot more struggles than you do, like mentally, like with what is reality and what is, you know, who are your friends and those types of things. That's why George had such a connection with my mum, because they'd been friends since they were like 8 years old.
We had this Richard Osman on the podcast, and I think he said it on the podcast, but I'm sure I can repeat it. He worked at Endemol. He basically did loads of formats for TV shows and stuff like that. And one of the, I think it was the show, it was Deal or No Deal or something along those lines. And on the show, do you know this story? Yeah. Okay, you know this. Well, you tell it better than me, because I'm fractured it. You go.
So the thing with George is that what you have to know is that, like, again, people would have thought he had this like very jet setting lifestyle. It wasn't really that. It was sat in front of a TV watching shows like Deal or No Deal.
Yeah.
And yeah, if the story that you're talking about with Richard Osman is
yeah,
the one
so,
I'm
so yeah, the money.
Watched
yeah.
someone, he watched someone lose quite a lot of money and felt so bad that he found that guy and paid him the money.
Yeah, but but also, what Richard Osman said is that he didn't want anyone to know that it was him either.
No.
That is as selfless as you get.
Yeah, but there's a lot of things like that. You know, yeah. I know that there's a lot of people out there that do a similar thing. You know, and there's a lot of artists that do that, and you know, they're good people. You know, that's why I don't know. It's just that obvious realization of when you reach that bit, you know, and that's why whenever I see young artists and they come into the studio and they're like, you know, they've got an attitude or this type of thing, and all they want, you can tell someone when all they want is fame. Like that, you know, there's a difference between wanting to be successful in this industry and a difference between wanting to just be as famous as you can be. Do you know what I mean?
Does it come in hand in hand though sometimes?
It does come in hand in hand. Of
Do you know what I mean? Because I the reason why I definitely did a reality show when I was 20 years old, because I thought, oh, being famous would be quite cool.
Yeah.
Like, what?
For sure.
Oh, I thought that I was going to market something like
that. Yeah, but you didn't know. Yeah,
I didn't
you know.
It was
know.
The unknown, right? It was the
yeah,
unknown. Yeah.
You didn't know. And like, yeah, of course. Like that's, but that is what I would say is I'm so grateful that I was able to see that beforehand.
Yes.
Because I know
it's
that
nonsense as well. It's,
yeah.
It's nonsense.
It's rubbish.
It's absolute rubbish. Rubbish, yeah.
Like it's such rubbish, and you know, that's why I just think that having grown up being the other side of the camera, where if I go into when I was a kid, you got to think since I've ever known going into a restaurant with my parents or anything like that, you know it. Both of you will know it when you walk in somewhere, you notice people looking at you.
Yeah.
You know exactly who's just recognized you.
But when do you become conscious of that as a kid? When do you suddenly start?
I see it more. Like when you're with someone, I remember as a kid being like, "Dad, that person's looking at you. That person's looking at you. That person." He's like, "I know. Just leave it. Just leave it. Just leave it." And it's just like,
just leave
but
it.
Do you know what I mean? Like you know. So as a kid, so I was fortunate enough.
But was it exciting for you? Because it's
of course it was, right? When I was younger, for sure, man. Yeah. Like he always says this really funny story. We had like a not a careers day, but I get the fire truck came to the school, like to show, like the firefighters came in and were like, "This is, you know, this is the equipment we use."
Like
this
a
is,
show and tell day.
Yeah, kind of, right? And then apparently the firefighter he's like, "And this is the, you know, this is the truck, this is the engine, this is the horn." Apparently at the end of it, I just stood up, and at the time my dad was Steve Owen in EastEnders, right? And apparently I stood up in front of all these kids and were like, "You think that's cool? My dad's Steve Owen." What a little prick. What a little prick.
I mean, damn right.
Yeah.
You tell them, Roman.
Yeah. But that's what I mean. But like, you know, I was really proud of my dad. But
you guys are best friends, right?
Yeah, we all are. Like, we're so close. And that's, again, that it's always, whenever I do interviews and things, and people are always saying, "Oh, do you feel the pressure to be, you know, as successful as your parents and things like that?" It's like, no, like they're doing their thing. They've done their thing. Like, I'm in full acceptance that it's two different worlds. How could I ever? What could I do that's going to... I'm not all of a sudden going to be in a band, get number one record, play Live Aid.
Yeah, I know.
Not with that attitude.
No! But I'm not. But
stop putting yourself down, Roman.
No, but,
yeah, I get it. Yeah, I get
JJ,
it.
JJ, don't ask any questions.
Just stop.
Yeah. But I do. I get it. I think that's also weak interviewing technique, where people are lazy in that sense, where what happens is they think, okay, Roman's going to come and let's ask him about family and things like that. Or if we go on, "Oh, what's it like being posh?" It's like, "Oh, God, like, okay," things like that. But I suppose you're now in a place now where you sort of accept it that's what's going to happen when you go into these places and get interviewed, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the main thing that my dad has always said is just don't get into fights. Don't get into
fights. Is that the one advice?
You've never had a fight?
Come on.
Yeah, for sure. But like, I remember like, but my dad always used to tell, my dad was like, you know, he's fantastic. Like, you know, he was... drove me to football training every Saturday, drove me to the match every Sunday, you know, and I'd play on a Sunday. And then when it started getting to the age where I was like 16 or so, like...
Were you quite good?
I was all right. Like, only like, you know, Sunday football. But, but like...
I thought I was academy. I thought you were leading into...
Nah, you know,
like Arsenal.
Yeah, but Arsenal short. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
what I thought. But like, no, but you know, just playing it. But he used to see me getting like fights and arguments and stuff like that. And he was just like...
that was the only time that like, I would ever see him like switch. Like, my dad like does this thing where he'll switch into like craze anger. And if he ever got into that, I was like, whoa, shit. You know, like when he, you know, like when
oh, don't hit me.
Yeah. And it like, it's like, don't give me a Chelsea smile. Do you know what I mean? Like really bad. But like, it's literally like, so, but
did he switch because you got angry?
Yeah. Like he didn't like, I remember, I can still remember, like there always will be one moment where
I got slapped by my dad, taken into the room and slapped because I was stealing coins.
Yeah.
I was stealing money.
I mean, I never got hit physically.
I got physically hit. I got put across the knee and slapped.
Wow.
Yeah.
There always is that one thing that you remember. And I remember I was getting in an argument with this kid. And then I remember I went through like just a tackle. I just went absolutely clattered him. Like when he was nowhere near the ball and he was on the floor, he was in a lot of pain. I got up and laughed. Right. And my dad, like when he got in the car, we won the game. I was buzzing, got in the car. My dad absolutely went nuts. Like, and then, yeah, but like, it's hard now because I still play football every week. And like every week I'll have people constantly trying to get that. Either are you playing?
Yeah, I play Monday night football, but I play it with like, I don't play any.
You play it with your mates?
Yeah, I only play with mates. I've had that before where we joined a team, we started playing that the league games, you know, the five-a-side things. Yeah, it was a bit.
I did the other day.
Yeah, a bit hairy.
I did the other day. I had this guy just full on just stamp on my foot being like, come on, you're famous. I'm like, and you just have to stand there and go,
come on, you're famous.
Yeah.
What response?
Like,
do you say back to that?
All right, thanks. Just, yeah. You don't have to say anything, just stare. And then waits for them to respond.
Yeah, and start crying. Yeah, exactly.
Dude, listen, Roman. That's the end of part one, man.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Listen, what we like to do is we want to leave a little cliffhanger.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you got like something just off the top of your head?
Yeah. No. I will give you an insight into a Kemp's Christmas this year.
Oh right? Man, that is.
For the whole day, I set my parents and my sister a challenge.
Yeah.
Because I found out a fact.
Okay.
Of do you know that one, the word nonce. Is an acronym for something, and my parents had to figure out what it meant.
I can't wait.
Find out.
he's not that interested. Find out in part two. That's sick, and no one's gonna come back. All right, everybody, find out in part two. See you in a bit. Bye bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go Facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code MOM.